Welcome to Nonprofit Courage Lab, how to ask for more and raise major gifts. I'm Julie Ordonez, your major gifts fundraising coach. And I'm on a mission to help nonprofit leaders like you get the courage and strategy to ask for more. No one has changed the world without first changing themselves. If you want to raise more money to change the world, you are in the right place. You ready? Let's go. Hi, everyone. I'm here with my amazing client and new friend, Will Zweigert, who is the CEO at Flatbush Cats in Brooklyn. And we're here today. And I've found so much value in clients sharing their real stories. And this is just a case study for people to learn from and connect with. Will is incredible, and him and his team have made tremendous progress. And so really my agenda here is for you to be able to learn from him and from his team and his story, connect with his story. And with that, Will, what's up?
Hi, Julie.
How are you?
I'm good. And our good friend Garfield will be joining us in the back
Garfield. Amazing.
He is a part of our story. You want me to give a really quick background on Flatbush Cats?
Yes, please. Tell everybody about you and about your organization.
Sure. So we found this gentleman on the couch outside in less than stellar shape in 2016. And at that point, I was a lifelong avid cat lover, like the kind of person who like makes cat videos and puts them all over the internet. Donor to cat-based organizations, major part of my life. And I saw them struggling and suffering outside in central Brooklyn. And it was new to me. I'd never seen something like that up close. And of course, we're deeply affected by things that are right in front of us in a way that's different from just seeing something on a screen. And so I spent the last several years, from 2016 until now, is me trying to figure out how to solve the problem of animal shelters being overcrowded, which I learned very quickly is a nationwide, if not global, issue. So Julie's joining us from LA. LA has the same issue as New York. Two centers of wealth across the globe have this systemic issue that no one's cracked. And so at the time I was working in advertising and brand strategy for a leading firm. And my job was to help other brands solve very complex issues. And I wanted to kind of spend my time on earth doing this instead. So I spent several years transitioning from the corporate world to nonprofit. I'm happy to chat about that later if of interest. But my goal was to marshal enough resources, which is where Julie comes in, to be able to direct our energy and our attention towards structural change in the animal welfare space. So Flatbush Cats was founded. Flatbush is a part of Brooklyn. It's a neighborhood in Brooklyn. Flatbush Cats was founded in 2018 when we were initially doing like cat rescue and trap, neuter, return, which is something that you, a way that you humanely sterilize feral cats that live outside. And over the next couple of years, we would try to work upstream. And where we are now is we've realized that in order to meet our mission, we're going to have to get serious about being able to connect with passionate animal lovers around the world. We're going to have to be able to ask for resources, make the case for resources that are allocated towards this mission. And so we just recently completed a long capital campaign, opened our first spay, neuter, and veterinary clinic in Brooklyn. And we've engaged Julie recently to go even bigger. We've got huge goals ahead, and Julie's been a major part of helping us conceptualize how to go after, you know, something really big and make it happen.
So your organization is now turning 6 years old? And then let's talk revenue. So in 2022, your annual budget, your annual revenue was?
It's challenging because we were going through this massive capital campaign at the same time. So for several years, we doubled revenue. We went from 250 to 500 to 1 million to 2 million. And really just asking what's actually necessary to make an impact towards this problem.
Yep.
So last year, for example, we raised over $3 million as a result of very intense fundraising and development work to get this spay, neuter, and veterinary clinic open. And we have, again,
congratulations.
Thank you. And I was fortunate enough to have support from a lot of people to make that happen. So one of my goals this year is to share anything that I learned along that very challenging road, because a lot of organizations have reached out and said, how did you get from A to B? Because it seems very daunting. And unfortunately, the answer is yes, it's even more daunting than it probably looks, but it's doable. And the number one thing that people have to be ready for is frankly personal transformation. I mean, a lot of organizations have a decent strategy and they have a decent approach, but are the individuals at the front ready to make the change needed personally to take the organization to the next level?
You're speaking my language. You know it. And how many people are on your team right now?
We're about 15 employees right now, and we're hiring 3 to 5 more. So
it's— And how many in fundraising? How many are working on fundraising?
So we have one full-time development employee, excluding myself. So I'm the executive director. And obviously, from a target standpoint, I should be spending a big chunk of my time connecting with our supporters and donors and partners. But we have one full-time associate, and we work with partners like you to help us drive that boat since we're a smaller org. And we're about to hire a director of development as well to lead in-house.
That's right. So they're hiring a director of development. If you have Major Gifts experience, check it out. This is a kick-ass team you're going to want to be on, okay? And Will is an amazing boss. So let's get into us working together. So last year in September, you joined my program, Courage Lab, which is a 6-week Major Gifts training program. It's an accelerator. It's designed for EDs, development directors, Major Gifts officers who want to ask for more and need the courage. They need the strategy and the training, and they also need the courage to raise Major Gifts. So you joined that in September of 23. And then we started working together one-on-one, and I really came in as your strategist for you and your team. So tell everybody, why did you decide to hire me? You could have picked anyone. You're an amazing, high-growth organization. Why did you want to work with me?
Yeah, I can't remember how I originally found you. I think I was getting an email from you from time to time, and at some point I learned that you had a podcast, and I was like, you know, I'm just emptying the dishwasher. Let's see what we got.
Nice.
And I was blown away. Like, I regularly tell people, this is the best free education. This is better than paid education that you're going to get in the entire development space. Like, folks need to listen to your podcast, because you're just dropping like very dense levels of actionable knowledge and tips. And I was like, honestly, Julie, I was like, I can't believe this is free. That was really my response.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not even sure if this should be free, but I'm glad that it is. I'm glad, because everyone needs to hear this. And coming from being new to the nonprofit world, I was blown away. And I say this with love. I was blown away at the dysfunction in the nonprofit space, because there are so many people with the best intentions and they're just not getting to where they want to go. And that is backed up by stats and just the sheer volume of organizations that don't pass, you know, basic thresholds in terms of organizational capacity or fundraising size. And so what you were speaking to, Julie, very directly, very candidly, is that a lot of us know what we need to do, but there are some basic stuff that's getting in the way of doing what we need to do. And you've said, I call it Courage Lab because that's what a lot of us are missing. And that's what I was missing because I don't like to step on people's toes. I was several years ago, I thought that I was, this is laughable to me now, but I thought I was bugging people by asking them to support a cause that they would be thrilled to be a part of. And right. So it took me years, and I'm still working through the like mental blocks of like, no, you're connecting people with something that is deeply, deeply valuable that they literally cannot find anywhere else in the world.
Right.
And so you have a gift to give, and they have a gift to give. And so I think you help people begin and move down that journey for themselves.
Wow. That's so nice. Thank you. I love doing my podcast, and I'm a podcast person, and I did my very first interview with We Are For Good back in the day. I think it was like 3 years ago. And they were like, Julie, this is your medium. And I was like, okay, I need to do a podcast. Ah! So I did. And yeah, everyone who ends up working with me, at least one-on-one, has said like, your podcast is great. I've actually made so much progress in fundraising just by doing what you say on your podcast. So I'm so happy that it's been so encouraging and helpful. That's exactly what it's designed to be. And Will, you know me, I really do believe in generosity. So hell yeah, I'm giving away all the goods for free, basically. People ask me so many questions and I'm like, this is in my podcast. If you just listened, like I already answered this, like, and 10,000 times more.
It is a full curriculum. Like if you're in this field, there's no reason not to be literally studying that. And, you know, I think, again, a lot of nonprofits out there who need this guidance are on the smaller side by definition, right? If you're bringing in tons of money and you can fund everything that you want to fund, we wouldn't be here. Most organizations are not in that position. So by definition, a lot of organizations need this help. And I think the repetition of hearing you on multiple podcasts helps to make the case for the financial investment of Courage Lab, which, you know, I don't care how big you are. Everyone's a little nervous about spending money on training. And honestly, the training space, like there's a lot of saturation and sometimes it's hard to tell, like, what am I really going to get out of this? So the fact that you were delivering so much value for free was an indicator of, you know, what's on the other side of that Courage Lab wall. And I really benefited from pulling the trigger on that, signing up for the course. And then you get into this realm of shared accountability with a team. You know, you meet other people who are on the journey with you. You realize there are a lot of people who want to do what they need to do to be the best that they can be and to further the mission that they care about. So you're connected with all these people who are deeply passionate, but also want to improve. And I just think it's a great environment to level up. Like you have to go in and say, I'm going to spend the time on myself and level up. And the skills and the confidence that you've given us through that course are shaping our entire next few years. I mean, I can also say, like, without getting into numbers, that like the specifics on focusing on relationships far beyond what I think most people think about. Like, because I was new to all this and I thought fundraising equals sitting down, making the ask, Shark Tank, Mark Cuban, hard questions. And like,
right, you're going to be grilled. Yeah.
And in this class, like you realize, dude, that's like 1%. Like the goal is to get to know everyone as a human being and understand like why they're talking to you right now. What lit a fire for them about your mission?
Yep.
And when you really get to know people and respect people, then those conversations are very natural. And it's not this like high stakes negotiation that you need to be intimidated by.
That's good. You're out here preaching, huh? Okay. All right. Well, Janet commented and said, I can totally relate. I hear that. Thanks for weighing in, Janet. Will, you're relatable.
Well, yeah, I could not believe how many folks want to do big things and are holding themselves up. And it's, if it sounds like self-help and motivational stuff, like it kind of is. I mean, it's just the kind that works. Like you have to commit to it and get out of your own way. And so like right now, let me just give you an example of how this has impacted what we do now.
Yeah, tell
me. So it's the beginning of the year. We're thinking about our, you know, development goals and strategy for the year. And the thing that I have written down on a post-it note here in my computer is big vision and big goals inspires big gifts.
Yeah.
That's a Julie quote. And you have to work backwards if you're looking to do something really incredible, which we are. Flatbush Cats is looking to completely dramatically change the level of access to veterinary care in New York City. We want every one of our neighbors and community members to have affordable access to veterinary care for their pets. That is a 10 to 20 plus year journey that we will be on. And so rather than getting right into the nitty gritty of like, who's on my Rolodex, who am I calling today? We need to think about how are we going to share this vision with people in a bite-sized way? So for me, I'm not talking about what we're doing this quarter. I'm not talking about the, you know, fundraising event in March. I'm talking about what we want to do in the next 3 years. We want to double our spay neuter surgery capacity. We want to expand services. We want to do all of these things that we know are needed. And that is how we start our conversations. And that changes the nature and the altitude of the conversation and the relationship with the donor.
Yes, that is so good. You have such a clear picture of what you're about, what your values are, where you're headed, and what the impact is. And frankly, people are frustrated with their fundraising results. And a large part of it has to do with they haven't made decisions about the future. They haven't made decisions and drawn a line in the sand and said, you know what? We're going to make a bold claim. We're going to create a plan to get there. And this is what we're about. This is what we're setting out to create. This is how we know that what we're doing is working, is if we achieve this impact, if we create this life change, if we transform our community in this way, that's what we're raising money for. It's like it comes down to a strategic decision about what are you about? Why are you even doing this? Why are you raising money? And you already have that, Will, right? And so that was a huge piece that I think a lot of times organizations are missing. That is a big part of why you're able to raise big money. Mm-hmm. You know what you're about and you know where you're headed. So talk a little bit more about the tactical pieces, because strategy gets all the love, right? And strategy is important.
Hey, are you determined to double or maybe even triple your individual giving this year and you'd love some guidance and support? I've got news for you. I have taught dozens of leaders how to raise more five-figure gifts in a month or less inside my program, Courage Lab. If you want to learn more, go to nonprofitcouragelab.com. That's nonprofitcouragelab.com and grab your spot today. Now is the perfect time to improve your fundraising skills and build your personal courage. I got you. Head over to nonprofitcouragelab.com. See you there.
What are some of the things that I had you do in Courage Lab and since then working together one-on-one? And how have some of those action items shifted your mindset? Can you talk more about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the big thing that comes to mind is, again, looking at everything through the lens of relationships. That was a big thing for me, is that I think a lot of people come into this field with a transactional mindset by definition. Maybe there's scarcity, or they're worried about, you know, how they're going to pay the bills in 3 months. And so I think a lot of people think about fundraising as particularly in animal welfare, it's all urgency all the time. It's all red lights and sirens. And oh my God, that's exhausting.
Yeah.
It is exhausting for everyone involved, you know, because the rescuer is exhausted. The person on the other end of the Instagram is like, I can only take so much of this.
Right.
And it almost, I think it accidentally tends to push people away. And so tactically what shifted for me is we've given ourselves permission to look at everything on a longer timeline. And it's not about, you know, that it's not about what do you need tomorrow. It's about how can we connect individuals with what we're doing right now, because we opened a facility, we're able to spend a lot of time doing tours and just want to bring you in, want you to see the work that we're doing. I was pleased to know that in your lens of development, a big chunk of our time actually should be on stewardship. And so
yeah,
I learned that we were not doing enough. I mean, we were super busy and we were growing and we were asking for resources all the time because we were literally building a clinic and it was burning cash. So now that that's done, we get to spend huge chunks of time on what I guess you would call thank and report, like just going back to people and reporting back on what they did. And you know what? That's actually really fun. Like, you need some things that you enjoy in this space that will maybe get you over some of your friction points. And it's fun to thank someone. It's fun to tell them that they made someone else's day and to show them a freshly rescued cat swaddled in a towel. You made that possible. Like, that fires me up too. So I think you've helped us find different aspects of our mindset that we can apply while also focusing on hard skills. Like, a lot of your classes are specific, you know, around how to structure a conversation, how to frame a conversation correctly so that it's beneficial for everyone involved. And then lastly, making sure that we are bringing our full selves from a character standpoint. Like, Julie and I had a conversation earlier today and I was like, I'm committing. I don't like sending postcards. I'm going to send this person a letter in the mail because it's nice when you get something in the mail. So I'm going to commit to you all that I'm going to send this thank you note right now. And you know what? I'm actually going to enjoy doing it and I'm going to be glad when I send it, but I just needed a little bit of structure and process to get moving.
Yeah, that's good. I love that you highlighted stewardship. That's so, a lot of times stewardship is solicitation. It is like you do a good job of keeping people close and letting them know, hey, we see you as part of the team. We're going to keep you in the loop of what's going on. And they respond in kind. They're like, oh, great. You have a fundraising goal and you need more. Here's more. Right? When people know what's going on, they can respond to that. So I love that that's something you highlighted. So let's talk about the juice. Okay, Will. So let's get specific about some results. So working with me so far, you were part of Courage Lab in September, and we've been working together one-on-one since November. And right now, this recording, it's January 23, 2024. So any numbers that you're willing to share of, you know, specific case study, and of course, like, you know, we're not going to share any names, but what are some of the results of us working together?
Yeah, I think the biggest immediate sort of shift was you helped us correctly assess where to take a conversation next. So there were scenarios where I was probably not investing enough time in a relationship. And so therefore I wasn't in a position to make a big ask, or I wasn't investing enough time in sharing the vision. And so there was no context behind the need. So two general examples would be, we had we'll just say like a anonymous private family foundation. We had an opportunity to provide some information to them about our needs for the coming year. And we worked through with Julie on how to set the biggest possible vision, like not hold ourselves back. And in that process, you know, Julie kind of prompted us to see where were we already censoring ourselves? Like we had said, oh, you know, this amount would be great. And she was like, but what do you need? What are you actually planning on doing in the next couple of years? I was like, well, that's several million dollars. And so I can't stress this enough, just destigmatizing for yourself, for you, how to talk about money, how to think about money as fuel for your mission. And just like get whatever you need to work out, work that out so that you can just talk directly about what's needed. Because that is often the conversation that donors want to have that we are just choosing not to have with them. They want to have a straight talk about what you need and what resources are required so that they can understand how they can help. So the fact that we were even able to talk at that level and talk openly about what we need is something that we carried from that conversation forward to several other conversations, and we will be having those in the coming year. So that single scenario prepped me up from a mindset standpoint to be able to have it again. Another example would be just really developing stronger relationships with someone who made a recent gift, and we're able to really understand and chat with them and bring them to the facility and sit down with them and give them a cat to cuddle and just talk with them and really get to know them. And I've felt freed. You know, I felt fully aligned with the fact that, you know, the better we understand what this person cares about and where their passions are, the more I can help them in conversations about directing resources. And so, again, just like destigmatizing having direct conversations, setting us up to be able to share openly and directly a next step, whether that's a 5 or 6 figure ask. And so those are structural changes to me. Those are two examples, but they apply to a number of future conversations as well.
Yeah, so good. I mean, there's one gift I'm thinking of, and you are planning on asking in like the 200 range. And then we met, and then you ended up basically tripling that ask amount.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, right? Quadrupling. It was significantly larger.
Yeah. And
I think if you would have asked for the 200 range, you would have gotten that.
Mm-hmm.
It would have said yes. And then you asked for, I think, 4x more than what you had originally planned after we met together. And then that's what you got. So that was a huge win for me because, of course, long term, right? There are so many things that are going to be different for you long term, not the least of which is you'll be able to raise more and actually work less than you were working last year, the year before. Which mm-hmm. is a beautiful thing, like chef's kiss. But yeah. I love the quick wins because it's like, oh, wow, this is momentum building. It's wind in our sails. It's showing that for some select funders, there is a lot more on the table than what we originally assessed with our best effort, with our best thinking and our best analysis. We surmise we could ask for in the 200 range, which is still a really phenomenal gift.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to talk about your big vision and ask for 4x more, and then that's what you got.
Yeah.
To me, I was like, this is validating how credible you are, the way that your donors see you, how trusted you are by your supporters, that they are willing to truly make investment level gifts in what you're doing is like such a beautiful thing. Like that's what this is all about, is like partnering with people who are ready to invest.
Yeah. And I think that's one of your pitches for the lab is I help you find several places where you were quite literally leaving money on the table, and right. not just for your organization. You also have talked about how in doing so, you are depriving funders and individuals of the joy that they would receive by helping you achieve your mission.
Well said. I have nothing to add to that. That's good.
Well, that last example you mentioned, because this stuff takes a while to work through. Like, you can't just be like, oh, I read this book or I listened to this one thing and I'm good now. I heard what they said and now I'm just going to do all the things and we're good. Right. If it was that easy, you know, this wouldn't be such a major challenge in the nonprofit sector. You, if you're listening and you're thinking about, you know, engaging Julie, I would say it's absolutely worth the personal growth that you will go through. It's worth the investment for the org. It is immediately going to put you in a very small minority of nonprofits who are capable of having the conversations that donors want you to have with them. Because if I can like bold and underline this statement, we are constantly censoring ourselves. We are constantly selling ourselves short. The example that you mentioned, Julie, was me setting my own walls. And you were like, it's not your job to decide how much they should give. You should ask what you actually need. And I see organizations are constantly censoring themselves and they're not even asking. They're not even speaking into existence what they need. So how would it ever happen?
Yeah. Don't donors know that we all just need millions of dollars and they should just give it without a conversation and read our minds?
Yeah. And there's the McKinsey Scott effect where people are like, oh, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing until the mega wealthy fairy comes and taps me on the shoulder. And it's like, unfortunately, that's not going to happen, but good news for you. And this is one of the core elements of the Courage Lab is that good news for you is you're not actually going to go start looking for new donors. They're actually already in your inbox. And your job is to start appreciating them and cherishing them and honoring them and getting them even more connected with the mission and go from there. Because most people are not actually needing a big donor acquisition push. They need a donor stewardship and retention push like yesterday. Yeah.
Right. That's right. Exactly. I love that that is like the cherry on top. That's exactly what Courage Lab is about. And if you are interested in checking out Courage Lab, if asking for $10,000 straight up to someone slightly makes you want to throw up, then Courage Lab is for you, especially if that's your job and you are finding busy work to do instead of doing that work. Courage Lab is for you. It's my 6-week major gifts training program. So you can go to julieordonez.com, click on Courage Lab. You can check out the testimonials, case studies. You can understand everything that we go through, all of the modules, every topic that we will cover, like how to make the ask, how to get more meetings, how to structure your donor meetings, like what the heck do you do with 45 minutes with a donor? And we'll also talk about how to engage your most trusted board members and the catalysts who are within your database who can help you make introductions and make referrals. Like, how do you actually make that happen? Everybody wants to make that happen, and almost no one makes that happen. So if you're interested in that, check it out. Will, thank you so much. This was so awesome, and I am so grateful to know you, to work with you, to support your team. What you all are doing is such a beautiful thing, and I believe it's going to be a national model for how to really transform this issue. And just thank you for your leadership, your courage, and the example and being willing to share today. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Of course. Anytime. And awesome. I hope folks are ready to make the leap is absolutely the best investment you can make for meeting your mission. So thank you, Julie, for how many organizations and people you're changing out there.
Thank you. Yes, I love it. So thank you again, Will. Thank you for sharing your story. I know it's going to encourage so many people. Janet already shared it, she can relate to it. I know that it's so relatable. So thank you again.
Yeah.
And so thanks so much, everybody. Thanks, Will.
Yeah. Take care.
Thanks so much for joining me, Julie Ordonez, your Major Gives Coach on Nonprofit Courage Lab, and for investing in yourself today. Head to nonprofitcouragelab.com to connect, follow, and share. If this has encouraged you, please rate and review this podcast. And remember, nobody changed the world without first changing themselves. Until next time.